Good morning, everyone, again. I was up here in the very beginning, but for those that came in after, it's good to see you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord anytime, especially, I won't even say, because like Tim said, this is something that as Christians we celebrate every day, amen? Not just one day a year. But I get it. It's exciting to really, really focus on the resurrection of Jesus. You know, I woke up this morning and I was singing, "I'm dreaming of a white Easter," right? It was snowing pretty good, actually, when I got up, and there was snow on the cars and such like that. But we will survive this battle between the seasons, right? What's going on? I just had one announcement. I just want to, something I got word of this morning. Some of you know Wayne Litchfield, brother in the Lord, was very involved in a lot of things in the community. He was a part of PACT. You know, he helped us in a lot of different ways. He's helped so many different ministries. His health had been declining for a number of years. And I just got word that he passed away last night. And, what a great servant of God. And on the eve of Resurrection Sunday, maybe that's a fitting thing, if you know what I mean. So remember his family. I don't really know Wayne's family very much. He was a single guy, and I don't know. I'm sure obviously he has family and others that he's very close to that are grieving, and as well as I am. He was a great brother. When we did Ride for Life, we were doing the outreach, with Scott and the other riders back in the, he was just so much in the center of that and so many different things. And I knew his health had been declining. He was in a nursing home in Batavia, and he passed away last night. So just wanted you to be aware of that. So our text this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians 15, and if you were here at the very beginning, I opened with a couple of those verses. It is an amazing chapter of scripture. If you have your Bible, you might, certainly I encourage you to turn there, or, if you have it on your phone or whatever, because we're going to look at a few verses from 1 Corinthians 15. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. There's 58 verses in the chapter, so don't panic. But we've got to be careful not to put and say, "Oh, I like this scripture better than that scripture," right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable as such, as it goes on, that scripture. But, there's some that just like 1 Corinthians 13, two chapters earlier, right? What, many of us know what that's about. It's about love. Paul articulates the essence of God's love, and that is just an amazing chapter of scripture. It's just a wonderful passage. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, a couple chapters later, is very similar in the sense that it is, but what Paul is doing in 1 Corinthians 15 is he's delving deeply into the whole idea, not the whole idea, but the whole truth, I should say, of the resurrection and what it means to us. Everything we've been talking about, everything we've been singing about this morning, and Tim's already shared a few moments about it, but it's an amazing, amazing passage of scripture. Just like every, this is going to sound a little odd, so forgive me, but pretty much every wedding, there's some reference to 1 Corinthians 13, right? Where we talk about love, love is patient, love is kind, and such. Well, just about every funeral has some references from 1 Corinthians 15. You say, "Well, that sounds morbid. It's Resurrection Sunday. What are you talking about?" Because it's at that time when we are grieving the loss. I just mentioned Wayne Litchfield. When those who were his friends, when we're grieving the loss of him, this is where we gather our hope, right? From these passages that I'm going to be looking at for a few moments here this morning, that he's in the presence of the Lord because Jesus is alive and he's risen from the dead. We do too. We have that hope. And so again, I know it sounds strange to talk about, what we might mention and then scriptures and such that we might use in the setting of a funeral when we're mourning the loss of a loved one. But still, the point is that's when we need to really be reassured that through Christ's death and resurrection, that provides the sure basis for us to know that when we leave this life, we are in the very presence of God. And we need that living faith. I was actually reading something this week along these lines. One commentator says concerning 1 Corinthians 15, he said, no human words ever written have brought such comfort to millions of mourners as the words of this chapter, which form a part of the burial service of almost every Christian community. It is the more deeply imprinted on the memory of men because it comes to us in the most solemn hours of bereavement when we have the most need of a living faith. When we come to the end of this life, be it ours or the life of someone else that we love or knew or whatever, this is where we find our hope, that this is not over, right? We are, as Tim said, or someone said, I think it was Tim earlier, we are eternal beings. So the title of the message this morning, Our Resurrection Hope. And so I want to do, again, I'm just going to walk through, not going to take a lot of time, just going to walk through a few verses in 1 Corinthians 15, and I broke it up into some little segments. And the first one, I call the message. And that's what I began the service with. I told you I was going to give you a little hint in the beginning when we opened the service about what I was going to share. And this is what the message is. It is that Paul says, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is it, right? That is the message. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures. That encompasses, you know, the message of the Christian life, of the Christian faith. You know, there's so many things. You know, I've been walking with the Lord for 45 years. I gave my life to Christ when I was 20 years old. And I've been walking with the Lord for 45 years. And there's a lot that you learn and you grow and you mature, hopefully, right? And all that is happening in our lives. But we can never, ever drift away from that. The very heart and soul of the Christian message. We can never lose that simplicity. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. You know, sometimes in the fog of life, we can forget the very core. We get disoriented sometimes because of the things that we're going through, and we kind of lose our direction or whatever. But, you know, this brings us back to the center of it all. The results. That's number one. Number two, the results. What does this mean, right? This means something. It is meant to affect every facet of our lives. Or at least it's supposed to. And this is a bit of an admonition for you this morning. If your Christian faith does not touch every area of your life, you need to take inventory of where you are with the Lord. It is meant to touch every area of our lives, every day of our lives. You cannot compartmentalize Christianity and say it's that thing I do once in a while, or, you know, I do this or I do that and I go to church and such. You can't compartmentalize it. True Christianity is not pulling Jesus off the shelf on a Sunday morning. It's not reaching out to him and praying when we're in a bind or we're going through a hard time. It is all encompassing. That is Christianity. So that's, you know, the message, and then the results of that, it's all encompassing. So much so that if anything of what I just had up there a moment ago is not true, we're in a world of hurt. Amen? Right? It can never be about just being a good person or helping others or being kind or being compassionate. It can never just be about that. Those are wonderful things. But if the narrative that I just shared with you, that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures, if that narrative isn't true, the whole message of the Christian faith collapses in on itself. Period, right? And we're just a social club or whatever you want to call it. Those wonderful things at the very heart of the Christian message, if they aren't true, we're lost in our sins and we are without hope. And that's what Paul says a little bit later in this chapter. He says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. It's not a word I use every day, pitiable. Some translations use the word miserable. If you don't have hope beyond the grave, it says we're of all people. You know, if Christ hasn't risen, you know, and we've put our hope in something that's not true, that's a myth, that's a fairy tale, man, we're still in our sins. We have no hope. And we're to be pitied because we believed a lie. There are real life consequences to the message of the gospel. The effects of the gospel, the effects of trusting Christ, as I said a moment ago, should be evident every single day of our lives. The transformation. There's a process that happens. And Paul talks about the resurrection here. And this is verses 42 through 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Someday the transformation will be complete. Someday the transformation will be complete. Because there is a process of redemption. When we're born again, when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of our lives, our spirits are made new, right? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new, right? That happens the moment we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So the spirit is made new. The mind, the Bible says, Romans chapter 12, the mind is renewed over time, right? The renewing of our mind, it talks about in the scriptures, Romans chapter 12. But there is a day when there's going to be the transformation of our body too, right? So that the whole process of redemption, spirit, soul, and body will be complete someday. We have not experienced that yet. Wayne Litchfield, the last time I visited Wayne was when he was in a nursing home in Medina, when he was at Orchard Manor in Medina, and you could see his body was breaking down, you know? But that's no more true today. Amen? That's something to get excited about, right? He went through a lot. There is a day when the transformation is complete. This earthly body has its limitations, right? Every one of us, to varying degrees in our lives, it will break down. It has imperfections, right? To say the least, right? It is a mystery to me why some people struggle more in the physical than others. You know, I don't know, Lord, why. You know, someday we may have the answer to that question. Sometimes it's a result of neglect. Sometimes it's a result of abuse, right? We've all abused our bodies probably to some degree or another. You know, and I'm 23 years old and I'm working in a collision shop painting cars and stuff. And who thinks at that age, I kneel on concrete, you know, for 8 hours a day, right? Working on cars. You know, you don't think about that stuff, right? You're young and everything works. And now I look back and I kind of regret that a little at times, right? Just because I didn't take care of myself. So I feel the effects of that pretty much every day. But I still push on. Amen. We all do. We all do. But no matter how hard you try to take care of yourself, your body physically will eventually break down. Live long enough, right? And it doesn't matter how well you take care of yourself. Things are going to start to show. The effects of aging are going to start to show. But praise God, that's not the end of the story, right? Isn't that a good promise? This earthly tent was meant to be temporary. And while we should take good care of it and we should steward it, it's part of what God has entrusted to us and all of that, that's not ultimately where it's at. You know, Paul said, he said, bodily exercise profits a little, right? It's not that it's a bad thing or unnecessary. Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable in all things. I read a story this week, and it was a man, I can't remember his name. He had been like Mr. Universe or Mr. World or something like that. I mean, we're talking, and I know, I guess, right, they're kind of juiced up a little bit, some of these guys at that extreme end of things. 44-year-old man, he had won. There was a picture in this story of him getting some medal for winning some Mr. Something or other award competition, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's giving him the medal and everything like that. And it was, you know, as he's standing there, it was like, oh my goodness, you know, it's just like, and I mean, Lori says it just grosses her out, that which is fortunate for me, right? But but this guy was a monster, and juiced up or not, you know, it still takes a lot of work, you know, and I'm not playing down, you know, steroids are not good or anything like that, but he's 44 years old, he's on a treadmill, and he dropped dead of a massive heart attack. And I don't know that man at all, don't know anything about his life, but if all he did was spend his whole life concentrating on that earthly tent, you know, you understand what I'm saying. It's not where it's ultimately at. Take care of ourselves? Absolutely. You know, I had a brother in the Lord that said, you know, your message can only go as far as your body will take you. You know, so we take care of ourselves. You know, it is important, and I don't play that down, and I enjoy working out and all that stuff. But God has given us, promised us, a new body, a spiritual body. This physical body will go in the ground, and the process of redemption will be completed when God gives us a new body. We will be clothed in a spiritual body, spirit, soul, and body. We will be made new. The final victory, I call it. So I'm beginning in verse 51, just a little bit long, it's 5 or 6 verses. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. You see, it's going to be different for some people. There's going to be a generation of Christians that are going to be alive when Jesus returns. And for them, it's going to be a little bit different. And Paul talks about that also. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. What a wonderful promise. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the final victory. And I don't know, will it be in our generation, every generation of Christians from the time, I've said this a million times, from the time Jesus ascended off the Mount of Olives 2,000 years ago, every generation of Christians thought it was going to happen in their day, that he would return. Maybe it will happen in our day. So it's going to be a little bit different. There will be some who don't die in the normal course of things, but they will be changed, it says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Christians have argued for years over when that's going to happen and how it's going to happen, and there's disagreements and stuff, but no true lover of God, no Bible-believing Christian ever doubts that it will happen. It will happen. Someday it will happen, and maybe we will be that generation. And I end with this last, and then I'll just a couple closing points. I call this the fruit, and I was trying to think, is that the right word, but... So we've talked about the message, we've talked about the results, we've talked about the transformation, talked about the final victory, all related to the resurrection of Jesus. The fruit of that, meaning, what does that produce in our lives? And Paul says, this is the very last verse of 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because of all this truth, because of the confidence that we have, in light of everything that Paul communicates to us in this wonderful chapter, it produces an enduring hope and a persevering spirit in our lives. An enduring hope and a persevering spirit. When we take into account that we have been saved from the consequences of sin, just think about that. And that this is not our final home, and this is not, you know, our eternal body. All those things produce great hope and great endurance. So I say this in closing. If you're a follower of Christ, I simply want to encourage you today. Keep your hand to the plow and don't look back, ever, ever look back. You know, Jesus asked Peter once if he would turn away. And Peter said, I have nowhere else to go. You have the words of eternal life. So don't ever, ever turn back. Your perseverance has great reward because Jesus rose from the dead, because he conquered sin and death. The story of Easter. Quitting is really the only way that we lose. Honestly, I've lived by that creed. The only way I lose is to quit. And by the grace of God, I think I said last week, a couple weeks ago, God hasn't given me the quitting gene. You know, I am just a hand to the plow guy, you know, and just want to serve God and be faithful to him. And I'm not saying I'm thinking better than anybody else, you know, people that stumble or whatever. We all stumble, right? We all go through things. But I read something this week. I thought it was a powerful statement. And maybe this is for somebody here. It says, you are not defined by your sin. You're defined by your next choice. Think about that. We all sin. We all fall at different times in different ways. But you're not defined by that. You are defined by your next choice and what you do from this point on. Your perseverance has great reward because he conquered death and he, he's done it all. Like I said, quitting is the only way that we lose. So we put one foot in front of the other. And it says in Hebrews, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. So if you're a follower of Christ here today, as I know many of you are, that's my message. Just keep going forward. It's a good life. Even when, you know, I say there's two kinds of things that happen in my life, good things and things working together for good, right? And I try honestly, very sincerely, to look at it that way. Sometimes it's hard, right? But I still very much believe that. Good things and things working together for good. If you are here today on this Easter Sunday, 2022, and you are not a follower of Christ, I save my final words today for you or for those maybe who are watching online. Please understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about being a good person. I'm not talking about someone who reads their Bible. All good things. I was reading something else this week. Actually, I think it was in the same book. It said, reading the Bible without partaking of Jesus is like being hungry and reading the recipe. You know? I mean, it's out of this like, wow. I know the Bible is unique, right? When you have the Spirit of God living inside of you and you read the scriptures, it's like life, right? But Jesus also said, you search the scripture daily because in them you think you have eternal life. But they speak of me. There are people who have devoted their lives to the Word of God who don't know the author, right? Who don't know the one who wrote it and who inspired it. So I'm not talking about, again, going to church, being a good person, reading the Bible. You know, how many ever been really, really satisfied because you were hungry and you pulled the recipe card out and read it? You know, did that help you? Did that make you fill you up? And like I said, I know the scriptures are different, but in one sense, but you can't read them without knowing the author if you really want to get something out of it. And I'm not even talking about praying. A lot of people pray that don't know God. Do you hear me? A lot of people pray that don't know God. You know, they're just reaching out, they're grasping, and you know, for the first time last night, 6 o'clock last night, first time in almost 2 years that I was in the jail. You know, as a jail chaplain, and we've had to do everything online because of COVID and all that stuff, and I know COVID's still rearing its ugly head and everything at times, but I finally, you know, they opened things up, so I was in there, and I hear that a lot. You know, I pray. And I don't, you know, I love those folks, and have a heart for him. And sadly, 2 years later, I knew probably the first names of half the people in there, you know, because of the revolving door sometimes. But a lot of people say, yeah, pray. Like, it's not just about that. All these are good things. Going to church, reading your Bible, praying, you know, trying to live a good life. But that's not where it is at. What I'm talking about is whether or not he is Lord of our lives? Is he the very center of our existence? Is he your all in all? Have you fully surrendered your life to him? Does he, Jesus Christ, touch every area of your life? That's what it ultimately means. I want to ask you to stand with me, please. And please hear these last couple of minutes. So you know, I do intend to end, get you on your feet. I won't make you stand there too long. If you can't with full assurance and confidence answer those questions, is he Lord? Is he the center? Is he your all in all? Have you fully surrendered to him? Does he touch every area of your life? Then this is really for you. Please listen to me. If you can't with full assurance and confidence answer those questions affirmatively, then it's not enough to just do the other things, you know, as wonderful as they are. Are you truly, as you stand here today, a son or a daughter of the living God? You say, aren't we all? Well, we're all created by him, right? He's our creator. He's got this whole thing in motion. He is the creator. And so through him, obviously, that we are here in one sense. But it says in John 1:12, but to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. It is by accepting and acknowledging what Jesus Christ has done for you, embracing that by faith and giving yourself completely and unreservedly to him. It says he made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. He took our sins and mine, all of ours, your sins, my sins, to the cross. When he died on the cross, he defeated the very enemy of our soul. And that last enemy, it says death, he defeated that. And we avail ourselves of that victory by receiving Christ into our hearts and having his very righteousness given to us in exchange for our sinfulness. I just want you to hear this about the love of God before we pray. The book I was referencing, there was another quote from that. I got a lot of good stuff out of it. It's actually a book called The Heart of a Warrior by Michael Thompson. And it's a great book. You know, a lot of times as men of God, we talk about being a warrior for Christ. And his point is this: you can't be a warrior till you're a beloved son or daughter, right? You can't really be that warrior unless you know the love of God and know that you are one of his beloved children. And he said this. He said, love is the greatest thing in the whole universe, and love is capital L, life. Then he goes on, but he says, it is the conditional kind of love that is the source of our greatest woundings, and the unconditional kind that is the source of our greatest healings. We all know and have experienced and probably have given conditional love at times in our life. And the problem with that is that can really, in the long run, wound others because it's all based on conditions. And so conditional love can be the source of our greatest wounds. And maybe you've been there, you know, and even your image of who God is, you know, like he just tolerates us. You know, it's kind of like his job to love us, but he doesn't really want to. He just has to because it's kind of the way it's supposed to be. No, that's not the love of God. Amen? That is not the love of God. His is the unconditional kind, and that is the source of the greatest healings in this life. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you know what the basis of his temptation toward them was? God is not good. He's holding out on you. He's keeping something good from you. And to this day, human beings struggle with that idea. You know, is God really good? I mean, you look around yourself, look at some of the things you go through in your life, look at some of the things going on in your family, whatever it is, you know, and you say, is God really good? And he is, and his love is unconditional, but you have to receive it. You can't just be passive about it. It is something that you go after. I mean, he goes after us. Don't misunderstand. It's all initiated by him and by his Spirit, but we have to respond to it. Amen? So I ask you to bow your head, your heads with me this morning. And I have tried the best I can, you know, to lay out a message about the power of the resurrection and what that means, and to talk heart to heart with you about what it really means to have Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, as your all in all, as someone who touches every area of your life. You know, I don't say this to look at me sort of thing. I don't, but I think about Jesus constantly. I mean, it's just the things of God are always on my mind. And I filter everything. I try. I don't do it perfectly by any means, but I try to filter everything through him and through his word. And again, I'm just trying to give you an idea. This isn't just a little compartment of your life. This is everything. This is why we're here. This is why you draw breath. This is why you got out of bed this morning. And if that's not real in your heart, and you have not experienced the unconditional love of God, then I encourage you, please, please, this day, on this Resurrection Sunday, if you need to make a commitment or a recommitment, rededication, surrender your life to Christ, you know, as we're in an attitude of prayer, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anyone here, please, don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. I need a fresh start with Jesus. Anyone else? Come on. Anyone? God knows all of our hearts. And I ask you, please, please, please don't miss an opportunity to say yes to him. Say, Lord, it's been a while. I haven't, you know, I just haven't been living the life that you have called me to live. Don't let that define your life. Let your next decision define your life. I just want to make sure, I won't labor on this, but I just, you know, you reach this point in time, and you just don't ever know. And this is not a scare tactic. You know, you just don't know. This is the promise that we have, this moment, this breath that we're drawing. And I've just, you know, tried to share my heart, the passion of my heart for Jesus. Anyone here just want me to pray? You know, when I pray, just, I mean, obviously pray for everybody, but include you. Just say, Jesus, I need a fresh start. I need to come back to you, or I need to surrender my life to you, even for the very first time. Anyone? Let's pray. God, we just humble ourselves before you. You know the hearts of every person here. And I'm purposely kind of pausing and just going slow here. I want you to hear not just my voice, but I want you to hear the voice. My voice doesn't mean anything. I want you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Is he everything in your life? I don't know your heart. Maybe sometimes it's the pressure of being around other people or wondering what would somebody think or whatever. But I just pray that if anyone here is lacking the assurance, and I'm not talking about a false assurance. Yeah. 30 years ago, I said, Jesus, be my Lord. I'm talking about the assurance that he's right there. He's at the center of everything today. I just want you to hear the voice of the Spirit calling you home and just asking you, will you reply? Will you respond? So, Lord, I just offer this time up to you. I pray that the seed of your truth, the seed of your word, is sown in the heart of every person that's here, oh God. And you know what's going on in the hearts of everyone here. And this is a holy moment. This is a very serious moment. And I pray, God, that you would do your work in the heart and life of every person here, that we could have that assurance. The Bible says that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Nobody can take that assurance away from you. So if that's you, I rejoice with you. If you're still struggling, unsure, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to pray with you. Whatever I can do to help you in your faith and in your walk. So we celebrate God this day, and I pray for every person that it's not just as wonderful as it is to get together with our family, to get together with friends, to celebrate, to share an Easter meal, to do all this stuff. This is what life is about. And I truly, truly pray that everyone can say amen to that, and that somehow, God, you would use these words, as feeble maybe as they might be coming from me, to stir hearts. God, your Holy Spirit can only do the work, is the only one that can do the work. So we thank you and we praise you. We celebrate your resurrection. He is risen, makes all the difference in the world. We thank you in your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your what's that? Matt Degnan is going to be here, Sharon, after a long, long time. He'll be here with us. So God bless. You're dismissed. Have a great day. And enjoy. Love him.